Mayo Clinic Radio presents a conversation about POTS with neurologist Dr. Jeremy Cutsforth Gregory. The show hosts are Dr. Tom Shives and Tracy McCray. This podcast was recorded on December 7th, 2016.
These are some doctor words here that I want
you
to hear.
Glad you got it.
Postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. Now, that's also known as POTS. That's the acronym for the condition. But for those people, everyday tasks can be a challenge. They have symptoms like fatigue and dizziness, and it can affect their quality of life for sure. And POTS can make exercising difficult, as the activity itself can bring on fainting spells.
Oh my gosh, patients with POTS may look perfectly healthy, but they say they feel terrible, making it hard for other people to understand exactly what's going on. Here to discuss the treatment and the diagnosis of POTS is neurologist Dr. Jeremy Cutsforth Gregory. Welcome to the program. We're glad to meet you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me here.
Dr. Cutsforth Gregory, how'd you get two last names?
It actually is my husband and I. He was Cutsforth and I was Gregory.
Got it.
One.
Now, okay, I understand.
At Thanksgiving dinner, we were sitting there having dinner, and I have a relative who said, you got to do a show on POTS. I'd never heard of it before.
Well, let me tell you this. You'll figure out now how old I really am. When I was in medical school, POTS disease was tuberculosis of the spine, right?
It is, but with two T's.
Yeah.
I deal with the one with just one.
POTTS. But this is a relatively new condition, isn't it? A relatively new diagnosis?
I think it's newly recognized.
Yeah.
So the original description with the term postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, which you said is a mouthful, and now people usually say postural tachycardia syndrome, which saves a few syllables. And that term came from Dr. Philip Lowe and the group here in 1993. So the term has been around a little over 20 years. But actually the disorder, which is essentially symptoms that come on when you stand up, so it's a problem dealing with gravity essentially, probably has been around at least since the Civil War. But then it went by the name Effort Syndrome.
The thing that I have learned about it is that it's very difficult to diagnose because it's just such a almost random kind of thing.
There are a lot of symptoms that can go along with POTS. The central ones and the ones that lead to the name and the diagnosis are the orthostatic symptoms, the ones that come on when you're upright but get better when you lay flat. So usually that's lightheadedness, dizziness, many patients will say. Sometimes fainting, although that can be a separate issue, and then fatigue. But the fatigue is usually one of those symptoms that lasts whether you're upright or flat.
Explain that term orthostatic for us. Orthostatic.
Orthostatic just refers to things that are there when you stand up, but go away when you lay flat.
Wow.
So you can have an orthostatic headache. I stand up, I have a headache, I lay down, it gets better. Or in this case, an orthostatic lightheadedness.
So how is it diagnosed? If the problem that I'm learning from this is that people can't figure out that they have POTS, how do you diagnose someone with it?
In the right clinical context, so if patients have these symptoms that we just talked about, we can send them to the autonomic lab and we do what's called a tilt test. So basically, we measure the autonomic reflexes, how they sweat, how their heart rate can vary based on a variety of stimuli, and then what happens when they are tilted up. And the diagnosis of POTS is basically a heart rate that starts out at some number in flat and goes up by more than 30 when they tilt up.
And you said the autonomic laboratory. What is that like? You have a tilt table there, obviously, but what other things can you diagnose in that lab?
We look at degenerative diseases, things like Parkinson's disease that can be associated with orthostatic hypotension. Hmm. So again, that word orthostatic, something that comes on when the patient tilts up, but in that case, there's a blood pressure drop. That's a main distinguisher between POTS and some of these other autonomic disorders, because in POTS, usually, in fact, almost always, blood pressure is stable. Or maybe it oscillates, swings back and forth, but doesn't just drop.
Is this something that develops, or is someone born with this? When does this happen?
Good question. There's probably a little bit of both, but most patients do well for a period of time, years, through their adolescence even. And then sometime in young adulthood, will develop these symptoms. About half the time, it comes within a couple of weeks after some sort of viral illness, maybe a surgery or a trauma. So there's some sort of inciting event. So maybe there's a post-viral immune effect, although we haven't found a particular infection, and almost never is there an actual infection going on.
One of the other things I learned as I was reading about this is there is, at some points, people thought, this is just in your head. This isn't a real diagnosis.
Well, it's one of those disorders where it's not a problem with autonomic failure. When you test the autonomic nervous system, it works, but the function of it and the stability of it are what's wrong. So usually, patients, like I said, will have a stable blood pressure, so the nerves can respond, squeeze the blood vessels, maintain pressure, and yet their heart rate shoots through the roof.
So if you send them to the autonomic lab, and as you said, when you tilt them up, their heart rate increases by 30 or more, that's pathognomonic? I mean, that then you've nailed the diagnosis? There's nothing else it could be?
You have to have the symptoms to go along with it, mm-hmm. and you have to rule out dehydration, which would be a common reason for someone's heart rate to shoot up. And then the right clinical context, as I mentioned. So the symptoms have to be either of lack of blood flow to the brain, lightheadedness mostly, or what we call sympathetic overactivity or hyperactivity. The sympathetic part of the nervous system is the fight or flight response. So imagine when that gets revved up, what happens? Pupils dilate, heart speeds up, gets sweaty, clammy, maybe a feeling of anxiety or nervousness. So those kind of symptoms come along with it as well.
What's the prognosis for someone who is finally diagnosed with POTS? Do you manage it, or is there a cure?
Mostly we talk about managing function, improving function, managing symptoms, and in most cases we can do that. There has not yet been a very well-designed study for long-term prognosis, but the best data we have suggests that probably two-thirds of patients get back to what they would consider a relatively normal daily function. 90% return to work if they've been out.
But how do they do that?
And they do that, the core of the treatment that I learned from the autonomic group here and what I pass along to my patients is fluid, salt, compression, and exercise. So basically we use the fluid and salt to fill up the tank, fill up the blood vessels so that there is blood to circulate and prevent that blood pressure lability. Compression, well, we know that blood pools in the belly and in the thighs when we stand up, and actually some of that happens in all of us, and it probably happens a bit too much in some of these POTS patients. So we have them wear compression garments. Think basically squeeze the vessels so the blood can't pool there. A pretty simple concept. It has been shown to be beneficial, and many of my patients tell me that it works. And then finally, exercise. A gradual reconditioning exercise, because almost every POTS patient eventually develops, if they haven't already, a degree of deconditioning. If the muscles aren't toned, then they're not going to pump the blood back to the heart.
Right.
Are there any things that patients with POTS should avoid?
Mostly it's laying in bed flat.
The thing that makes them feel the best.
Exactly right.
Wow. And so why should they avoid that?
The autonomic nervous system, as important as it is, as vital as it is, it gets lazy pretty quick. Huh. If POTS patients are in bed more than 2 or 3 days flat, they will almost always have a major setback and feel like they've gotten much worse and need to work harder.
Wow, you can really understand then why people suffer so much with this.
So what I'll tell patients is, even if you feel crummy, at least try to be sitting up instead of laying flat, and be upright at least 10 minutes several times a day. Some patients can't quite make 10 minutes, but it's a goal that's usually achievable.
So I know you're doing research into this, about this condition. Tell us what you'd like to know about POTS that you don't.
I'd like to know what the cause is in every case. And I think it's different. I mentioned the deconditioning. One of the ones that really intrigues me and is an active research project is an autoimmune form of POTS. So a few patients, probably in the range of 10 to 15%, have antibodies to a target that we know is part of the autonomic nervous system. They're called ganglionic antibodies. They were actually described here by Dr. Stephen Vernino, Dr. Vanda Lennon, and others in the autoimmune lab back in the late 90s. And those antibodies can cause a variety of autonomic disorders. And we found that they are present in some POTS patients. Probably not quite clear if it's definitely the cause of their POTS, but sometimes we can use immunotherapy to make their POTS better.
Are you doing specific research, POTS research, here at Mayo Clinic?
We are. So one of the things is I'm looking at every patient who's ever tested positive for that antibody, just to try to learn in a retrospective manner what they have and what seemed to help them. We're also looking at, there's been a study from here for a particular drug called pyridostigmine, or mestinon, a little bit simpler name, that tries to amplify the autonomic signal. You say, well, isn't that the problem, that they're unstable and that's going to make things worse? Well, it tries to prevent that tendency to drop in blood pressure that would provoke the heart rate from going up.
POTS expert and neurologist Dr. Jeremy Cutsforth Gregory, you know, when you get this figured out, we want to have you back.
Thank you so much.
We want to know how you understood this disease even more than you do now.
It's a worthy challenge.
Yep,
thank you.
Thanks so much for being with us.
For the latest in health and medical news, go to newsnetwork.mayoclinic.org.